in the morning. When you want the news, you need the front page every hour on the Press Box.
Nothing's riding on this except the First Amendment of the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country. Not that any of that matters.
And now, the news.
Nobody said it was going to be easy, right? Coach Otzelberger's first year, there's going to be some growing pains, all right? But I don't think anybody felt like they were going to lose 64-57 to Texas State as the Bobcats played UNLV tough. Their defense was really strong. They kept getting back on defense so strong that it was impossible to set up for the fast break. And, yeah, you may have had Jonah Antonio getting hurt, Maury Hardy getting in foul trouble, but that's not the reason. UNLV just could not keep up with Texas State, as last night they lose 64-57, and the social media outrage was out of control. So UNLV is now 2-4 to start the season. According to Mick Akers from the Review Journal, talking about their worst start since 2005-2006, where they started 2-5, that was a Lon Kruger team, second year at UNLV, and they went on to be 17-13, and the following season they made a run. But I think they don't, you know, Rebel fans, they don't like seeing these kind of losses early in the season. Everyone feels like, all right, you got these easy non-conference opponents that are going to run over.
Right.
Texas State, maybe not that kind of team. I mean, they were strong to the basket, and offensive cohesiveness is not where UNLV is right now. They had a four-minute stretch. It was a complete drought at the end of the game, about 5 minutes to go, rather, and they couldn't keep up. And I can feel the fans' angst. They want changes right away. They want improvement. But it's going to take a little longer time than you might realize.
Yeah, I mean, this team is pretty much Amari Hardy right now. And you talk about the 2-4 start. I think worst start since what, 2005?
Mm.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part of all this, is that there were expectations. You know, the
expectations are crazy.
Yes. Otzelberger's, you know, fervor and excitement and his belief, I think, created that sort of feeling amongst the fan base. And when it doesn't get delivered on, or it's early, six games into the season, but when it starts off this way, yeah, the noise and the venom is going to be amplified because there's a bit of excitement there. If this was another year of Marvin Menzies and it was 2-4, I don't think it would be as big a deal, right? But there was a change. There was a turnover there, and you know, people have expectations. Now, I don't think this is going to be the story of the season. I expect this team to get better. They're still trying to figure out how to mesh with each other and how to run their systems and how to play with TJO and all of that. But it's not a good start, Clay.
No, it's one that's going to be rocky. And yeah. This is Coach Otz after the game. He sounds, you know, angry, but he's holding it back. And I tell you what, just take a look at these comments, and you know they're bound for a rebound here.
I think number one, we've got to move the ball better than we did. We've got to have player movement. I think, you know, in the Abilene Christian game, we had a lot of guys cutting and on the move. I thought tonight we over dribbled it a little bit much. They play two to the ball on all the ball screens, so it almost feels like a trap on our guards. We talked about either beating that or getting the ball on the move quickly. Weren't able to do it. I do think for our group, I mean, obviously not having Jonah impacts the spacing offensively. His ability to shoot the basketball stretches the floor out, but he wasn't able to go tonight, so we've got to go and be prepared with the guys that we have, and we've got to move the ball. We've got to be persistent offensively to get the shots we want.
And obviously,
and we hear a lot of noise coming off social media. Everyone's upset anytime the Rebels lose, but you got to stick with them. I mean, we're just at game seven here. You know, it's not the end of the world, and you have SMU coming up on Saturday. That could be the game you go turn everything around on.
You're going to need to. Coming off a loss to Texas State like that, you have to come out on Saturday and put in a good effort and get that W.
Yeah, as we see that TJ Otzelberger trying to employ so many different things, but he doesn't have all his guys yet, so you just got to take it easy. And you know, it's not just about turnovers; they're just trying to get good looks at the basket at this point. So they have to go and be somewhat patient. Next game up, 7:30 Saturday night, SMU. Thomas and Mack Center. Get your tickets, UNLVtickets.com. All right, Lamar Jackson leads the Pro Bowl voting by a pretty good margin by the fans, but I think it's the one in which we're seeing now in Las Vegas that earlier this week, Lamar Jackson is now catapulted the favorite as MVP for the NFL, and I'm okay with it. That's probably who it really needs to be, but this is a tighter race than I ever realized.
Well, I think you got two guys right now who are the clear-cut favorites.
Yeah.
You have Russell Wilson, but you have Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson is getting the nod because, well, he's a fresh face. People like highlights. and justly so. I get it. You know what I mean? He's a Twitter highlight reel. I feel like every weekend something happens now where, you know, Lamar Jackson is doing some Mike Vick type stuff on the field. So
he's getting those comparisons every week.
Right, and it's justified. Yeah. I mean, it's the first guy, maybe, well, not the first. I mean, Kaepernick had that ability. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs when he put up, what, 180, whatever it was. I mean, rushing yards. Like, Kaepernick had serious wheels. But maybe he didn't have as much as the, of that dynamicism? Dynamicism? Let's try that again, Ryan. Punch myself in the jaw.
What would Michael Keaton say?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, but no, it's – I get it. If I'm betting it, though, I stay away from both of them. You know, Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson are so ahead of the curve that I think there is – there's some ability there to sneak in on Rodgers, right, to maybe sneak in on a Dak Prescott. Or if you really, really want to take a chance, and this is probably a huge mistake, but I think the last time I checked, he was at, like, plus 3,300, Christian McCaffrey. If the Panthers just did something crazy and went on a roll, which I do think there's a small capability of that happening, it will be entirely because of Christian McCaffrey. So if he has a crazy last quarter and a half to the season at plus 3,300, I mean, we know the kid's just stupid talented. Again, I'm not saying do it because there's a reason he's plus 3,300. I'm just saying if you want to have a little bit of fun, I could see that maybe working out. But in a more serious terms of maybe looking at a stretch, I mean, how could you not put a little bit of cash on Aaron Rodgers and what he's sitting? I think he's like plus 16, something like that.
That is a very good point. Aaron Rodgers getting totally lost on this. Next Gen Stats has a couple things on Lamar Jackson. After the Houston game, they noticed that Lamar has gained 518 rushing yards when a defender closes within a 1 yard radius.
That's insane.
This season. Here's just a little graphic. This almost looks like a little Tecmo, and we'll retweet this up at ESPN Las Vegas. But they just go and show you how the defenders get close to with 1 yard of Lamar, and immediately they're repelled. Like if you try to put two polars of a magnet together and they just push each other off, it's so great to watch. Nobody can catch up with them is one thing for speed, but the elusiveness.
Well, that's the key. That's bizarre. That's when we talk Mike Vick, I'm not talking about speed. There have been plenty of fast dual threat quarterbacks. It's the elusiveness. It's his vision on the field and the way he swings those hips, right, to keep the legs moving and to keep, you know, his upper body is straight so much of the time, but his lower body is spinning and moving and juking and leaping. I mean, he's a really, really good wide receiver. See what I did there?
And real lastly, Westgate also having those odds up for the MVP. They also have the odds for James Holzhauser to win the championship.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean,
is there anyone in this conversation?
Yes, Ken.
Yeah?
I don't know who the other guy is. It's for me, it's Ken versus James. But I'm excited to this matchup, this showdown of the behemoths. People are focused on Ortiz Wilder going down this Saturday here in Vegas. I'm focused on Jeopardy James versus Ken.
Would you put a little money on this? I mean, it's like Holzhauser opened up as a plus 125 favorite over Ken.
What's Ken?
Plus 175.
Yeah.
And that's almost 2-1.
That's almost 2-1. Yeah, I'll take Ken at 2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good showdown.
I don't mean to, like, I'm sorry, James, if you're out there listening, and I know you're our guy here in Vegas, but I'm about that money.
Yeah, James, this is nothing personal, man. We're behind you 100%.
Right. We want you to win, but I want my money to win. And I remember a time before Jeopardy James when there was one synonymous name in the Jeopardy record books, and that was Ken, the mighty Ken. And at 2-1, I'm a little old school. I trend old, Clay.
You trend old?
I'm going to take that 2-1. I'm going to go with my guy.
We want our money, man. That's all it is. James is a professional better. He understands, too.
If I get some value. Absolutely.
James, watch if James goes to Westgate and he's like, I'm the other guy.
25K on Ken.
Give me a nickel.
And then James goes to 150. If James hits 150, I might take James. I'm going to wait. I'm going to see where the money comes in. I'm going to wait as we get closer. When's the showdown? January?
Yeah, showdown's January.
Yeah.
I mean, can you wait that long?
Probably not.
No, probably not.
Where can I make this bet?
Let's go to the Superbook.
Let's go, Superbook. I'll see you after the show.
If I get it on the app, we'll do it right here.
Let's do it.
Golden Knights tonight against San Jose Sharks. Sharks in town. And,
like, you're all right, guy?
Yeah. 7 o'clock, they drop the puck. Fox Sports Las Vegas. What do you think on this game? We'll get more into this with Danny Webster coming up next on NHL.com. But this is a perfect time for these two teams to meet each other.
Oh, it is, because, well, San Jose is doing much better than they did to start the season. They had surpassed Vegas in the standings just a couple games ago. Now, Vegas obviously has won two in a row, and they're sitting much better than they were just last week. So, yeah, I mean, listen, we know what we're getting when it's the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights, and you talk about it being early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams really want to win badly because you don't want to fall too far behind. We talk about this. What is it? The Thanksgiving line, right? The Thanksgiving line. If you're not in a certain position in your standings in your division by the time American Thanksgiving rolls around, then you could be, in terms of percentages, on the outside looking in.
Yeah,
so
if it didn't happen beforehand, it's probably not going to happen at all.
Right. And you also want to capitalize on what have been two really great games.
Yeah.
For the Golden Knights, obviously, the shutout, and then what happened against Toronto on Tuesday, the shutout against Calgary, and then the win against the Maple Leafs. You want to piggyback off that. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury is clearly playing out of his mind. I would expect him to be in that tonight against the San Jose Sharks. And let's see if the Golden Knights can go out and walk Martin Jones again, because he does not do well at T-Mobile Arena. I don't know what the running count is, including playoffs, but Martin Jones, I feel like it's got to be like half the time he plays on T-Mobile ice. He's out before the third period.
I don't know what it is, but he gets rattled. I mean, and it's in his head. And when things are get in your head, especially in hockey for goalies, you can't get it out of it. There's no holistic dream that can go and pull this out. I mean, it sticks with you like bad gas, you know. We'll get more into this with Danny Webster from NHL.com and Knights on Ice next. It's Golden Knights against the Sharks preview here on ESPN Las Vegas.
Traffic is being brought to you by Live Nation, presenting Slayer November 27th at the MGM Grand. Get tickets at AXS.com.
Accident, Cheyenne and Buffalo, another one, Cold Creek Road and North U.S.
100.9 FM. It's time for the first sports voice in Las Vegas, The Press Box, with Clay Baker and Big Mac Ryan McKinnell.
Now it's a two-on-one for Toronto. Left wing side, a shot, save Fleury! Rebound juggled and gloved! Oh, Fleury somehow kept it out, calm and cool. Left wall, Stastny. Left point, Theodore to the slot. Glass to the right. Stone shoots and scores! Mark Stone! Another Vegas power play goal! 3-1 Golden Knights. Leafs up ahead on the far side. And a shot. No! Rebound! Oh, a diving! Glove saved by Fleury! He went airborne back to his left and saved the goal!
All right! It's Sharks Hate Day. San Jose's in town, and the Golden Knights at T-Mobile Arena. 7 o'clock, they drop the puck on Fox Sports Las Vegas. As we're back now on the Press Box morning show with Ryan McKinnell from the Mac Attack on Sports 920 The Game. And we now are joined by the correspondent for NHL.com and the manager of Knights on Ice, wearing a lot of hats indeed. It's Danny Webster. Follow him on Twitter at DannyWebster21. What up, Danny?
How's it going, guys? Good morning.
Rage Against the Webster. I love it, man.
I just want to know when those tickets are going on sale.
I know. Wait. Can we all go to Rage, Danny? Can we hook that up?
See in Phoenix?
You know what? Might as well give it a shot.
We were just laughing at the total enormity of the save from Fleury that capped off maybe a career, a Hall of Fame career, but maybe it's that one shot heard around the world where it kind of helps propel a team back to their normal graces and get the Golden Knights back on a track where they feel like they're back on an identity. But for you and for you with KnightsOnIce.com, what's been the social media fervor been for the last 48 hours since that save was made?
Oh, God, it's been ridiculous. Watching it live, it was probably one of the more ridiculous things I've ever seen, but just the social media presence, everyone is still going crazy over it. Over, what, 2 days now? It's been 2 days since it's happened, and people are still in awe of what happened. It's one of those moments, like you said, it should propel this team. It could be the shot in the arm that they've been looking for. I mean, these last two wins have been very good for them. Not as great of a win stretch as they've been on, but you know what? If this is the moment where it's going to get them, you know, a couple wins down the road, excuse me, then it's probably a good time.
You know, Danny, you know what I love as we talk about that save? One of my favorite things that was coming of it was the understated nature and the kind of, oh, shucks, gee golly, approach that Fleury took after the game, essentially saying, yeah, I've made better.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been his MO. He's never been one to be like, oh, right. Golly, shucks, just me, you know? It's always been his, like, oh, it's just another day in the park. But, I mean, we've been so used to seeing him make these kind of saves. Not the saves of this kind of magnitude, but we've seen him make big saves over the last couple of years. You know, obviously, the first thing I came to mind when that save happened was the one in the Western Conference Final against Scheifele when he made the two saves back-to-back. That was the first thing that came to mind for me. So I mean, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility that he's been able to do this, but the fact that he was able to make that save is just another reminder of how good he's been since he's got here.
Hey, hey Danny, we were actually talking about this last hour before we brought you on as we talk about Fleury and that save. Who gets the first Golden Knight statue out in front of T-Mobile, Derek England or Marc-Andre Fleury?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Put you on the spot.
Let's go.
Can they go double statue?
That's kind of what we were saying. I was like, it'll probably be two, but I'm kind of putting you on the spot, and I want you to pick one.
I mean, I hate hedging my bet here, but you know what? I would have to go with Fleury. I just think the overall impact on the ice since the team has been here,
yeah,
I think plays a bigger role in that. Obviously, with what England has done in the community as being an ambassador for Vegas, I think goes far and beyond the call of hockey. But I just think that when it's all said and done, when you look at the product on the ice, and if Vegas does win a cup in the next couple of years, they'll be looking at 29 as the reason why. And I think just by that alone, I think they'd have to go with him.
Yeah, and full disclosure, we were too much of cowards to make a single pick, so we definitely did say Derek England and Marc-Andre Fleury.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, no problem. No problem, buddy. Yeah.
Danny Webster is here with us. Follow him on Twitter. A great, fantastic, as well as not only Danny Webster 21 on Twitter, but also KnightsOnIce.com. I'm sure you've already been on it because you get the podcast. It's a lot of fun, Danny, what you guys are doing out there. But even for you, were you beginning to feel like the angst of the fans before the 6-0 shutout, after even the Saturday loss to the Kings, where what is it going to take to get the cohesion back that they desperately need? And we see that Gallant has been trying to do the best he can to at least alter the lineups a little bit. How far do you think that'll go?
You know what? I think for as long as they can ride this out, I think they have to go with what's gotten them there. I mean, the 5-game losing streak, losing 6 out of their last 8, I could definitely understand the angst from the people around here. I can understand the frustration. I mean, even I thought, after they lost to Detroit, I thought that was probably the low point. And then they come back home against Chicago, and then they lose that game they should have won against a team that they've never lost to. And it's like, okay, maybe this is the time where they finally get over the hump. But then they go into L.A. and play, for the most part, a pretty solid game until the third period, when it was just one shot too many against them, and they lost to the Kings. So I think the way that the Lions have been playing right now since that Chicago game, though, I think it's a good indication that they're going to let this ride for as long as they can. I mean, the new look Carlson line has looked really good. Pacioretty's been very good. Carlson, just, you know, 3-game point streak was ended on Tuesday, but he's been very good. And especially if the Eakin line can get going the way that it was the last couple of games, if they can start scoring and they can start producing offense and get Eakin going, that's only going to be much better for the likes of Marchessault and Stone. So I think they're just going to roll it out for as long as they can. I mean, Gerard Gallant said yesterday, you know, at some point they might go back to what used to work for them. But, I mean, at this point, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so far through 2 games, it ain't broke.
Danny, what do you think about a lot of the criticism Cody Eakin has been receiving? Justified?
You know, I think there is some justification to it. I mean, this is a guy who had a career-high 41 points last year, 22 goals. I mean, he's been around the block a little while, and the fact that he broke through and scored over 20 goals for the first time in his career, I think there is a little bit of justification for that. I mean, you look at the contract he's on, he's making shade less than $4 million on an expiring. When you were looking at what the Golden Knights were doing with the move that they made this summer, the one guy that, you know, would fit the mold the best out of that was Cody Eakin. If they were going to move him and eventually move, you know, Cody Glass to the main roster at the time and move him over to center, that would have made the most sense. And I think that the third line is under so much pressure, especially when Alex Tuck was out for the 2 times that he was out. The third line was under so much pressure to perform that when Cody Eakin wasn't performing, the rest of the line just wasn't getting it going. So I think it was definitely on him to kind of get on track and start scoring, and I definitely think the criticism has been a little bit warranted to this point. But, I mean, goals in back-to-back games, if this is what kind of starts to get him going, if he can start maybe a stretch of 4 goals in 5 games or whatever the case may be, especially over these next 4 or 5 games, which are going to be very huge for Vegas, if he can get it going, I think that's going to help his confidence, and it's definitely going to make the Golden Knights a lot better, especially as we go into December.
And also a tale of two Codys. We see Cody Glass's development coming up a little bit more and more incrementally each and every game, getting the power play goal the other night. But we see that maybe like him working with Pancharetti has been a nice little send up where you could say, all right, the versatility of what Cody can do could be very helpful going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw it at the beginning of the year when he was with Stone and Pacioretty, just the way that he's such an intelligent kid at, you know, at 20 years old, the way that he sees the ice, the way that he is such a versatile playmaker, the fact that he's on that power play unit with those guys who are already really smart has definitely helped his development. Now, obviously, it's a little bit of a transition going from center to wing. I know it doesn't seem like much, but you've definitely seen the struggles for him. He hasn't gotten as many scoring chances on that line. Hopefully with Alex Tuch, if he can stay in the lineup, you know, for the next few games and stay consistent, that's going to help him. But there's no denying that he is a very intelligent player. He's very smart. He's very good with the puck. If he can just work on his scoring ability a little bit, is the finish on his scoring, I think that's going to make him an even better player. And if he can start getting that going, like later on in the season, that's going to be a huge X factor for Vegas.
Sharks in town tonight at T-Mobile Arena, 7 o'clock, the puck drop. Fox Sports Las Vegas, Danny Webster here with us from NHL.com. When you have to feel like this budding rivalry has now turned into like a blood war between the Sharks and the Golden Knights, what do you feel like, how awesome it is just like watching the social media, how Golden Knights fans are constantly trolling Shark fans, and this thing has really boiled over into something great. What do you expect from tonight as far as intensity is concerned?
I think you're probably going to expect probably the most intense game you've seen this season for both teams, because if you think back to the first two games of the season, Evander Kane wasn't there because he was serving that suspension that he had from the Vegas game in the preseason, which, by the way, if anybody forgot, they played three times in a row when the season started, so that makes total sense. I think you're going to see the most intense game of the season. You're looking at a Sharks team that's won 6 of 7 coming in. They're not struggling like they were early on. And you got a Vegas team that is trying to find its identity and trying to get on the track going for its first 3-game win streak of the season. But, I mean, it's home ice. Vegas has done really well against this team for the better part of 2.5 years on home ice. The crowd atmosphere is going to be crazy. I think the environment is going to be ridiculous. I think everybody's going to be hoping for a fight between Reeves and Kane, because why the heck not? And it's going to be just one of those games where, like we mentioned earlier, it's going to be one of those games where it could probably be a turning point for the season. And obviously Saturday's game against Edmonton is going to be, you know, a lot more merit in the standings, but I think tonight is probably going to be the most intense game of the season for both teams for sure.
Hey Danny, since I put you on the spot with the statue, I'll put you on the spot with this question. Do you happen to know how many times Martin Jones has been walked on T-Mobile ice? Because it feels like half the time he steps on the ice here in Vegas, he's gone before the third period.
I think I was actually looking it up last night. I think it's been about 3 times now in the regular season, and then you add a couple of times in the postseason. I've actually lost count. But I mean, it's crazy to see just how shell-shocked Martin Jones looks when he gets on the ice. I think I saw the numbers 3-5-1 with a GAA just under 3.8 and a save percentage of under .888 in 9 games total in the regular season against the team. I didn't even get to the home numbers, but I know they're probably even worse. But it's just crazy how Vegas is able to attack that stout San Jose defense, you know, the defense that they put in about $40 million for the next number of years, to completely just make Martin Jones look, you know, not like an NHL goaltender. It's really one of the great mysteries of this time. But you know what? If they can get to Jones a couple of times early on, I think that'll swing the game early on, and I think Vegas will definitely ride that momentum to another win tonight if they can do that.
Danny Webster here with us, KnightsOnIce.com, the NHL correspondent for the Golden Knights at NHL.com, and follow him on Twitter at DannyWebster21. Thanks again, man, for coming on today, and we enjoyed talking to you again down the road.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. And 7 o'clock, they drop the puck at T-Mobile Arena. This game has so many implications on it, and look, there's a 4-point distance between the two teams in this division. The Sharks and Knights are 4 points apart, and there's 6 teams in between them. Okay, there's a lot of good parity here that's going on. But with a win tonight, if the Sharks pull out a W because of the regulation win tonight, the Sharks could jump up to third in the division, you know, because they own the tiebreaker on the Golden Knights so far. one fewer game, that is. So, I mean, San Jose had a demoralizing loss on Tuesday as opposed to the great, you know, wonderful win for the Golden Knights. They lost to the Oilers on Tuesday. These two teams, they just throw those records out. Like, whatever happened on Tuesday means nothing tonight.
Yeah, and this slow start to the San Jose Sharks season, I also think that means nothing. This is a team that's going to be there towards the end, and 2 points in November count the same as 2 points in March. So get out there and win this game tonight. Because, again, don't let that slow start fool you. The San Jose Sharks are a very good hockey team.
They are. And watch out for the pregame show. Also, Ryan and Frank will do your pregame, intermission, and postgame with you on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Chris is down in the locker room. Bobby's back at the board. Fantastic squad we got here for the Golden Knights each and every home game. When you come back, we'll go over the Raiders and a story that comes out praising Mayock's decisions. Mike Mayock, the Raiders GM, as he approached the draft last year. Everything's coming up roses. And then at 8:48, we'll do Hard Times. Ryan and I, 9 o'clock, RJ Bell, J.R. Starkus, right around the corner at 9:18.
ESPN Las Vegas is the home of the Raiders fan.
We're ready for some football.
The home of the Raiders fan.
What do you see from them on film, and what are you guys expecting?
They got a lot of good players. You know, they put a lot of good players on that roster, and like you say, Darnold is getting healthy and playing good. Defensively, they're really playing with confidence and a very, very, very aggressive style of play. It'll be a challenge for us.
John Gruden walking the line on that one. Jets improved overall, according to John Gruden, back here on the Press Box Morning Show. They face off Sunday morning against the New York Jets. That's where Ed Graney will be. He'll join us tomorrow as we move on for more NFL. And we see this great story coming out from the Ringer, and I tell you what, it's one that needs to be at least spoken about, the fact that Mike Mayock's debut draft class is already transforming what the Raiders are now and what the Raiders are going to be. Ryan McKinnell here with me, his show The Mac Attack from 1 on Sports 920 The Game from 2 to 3 Monday through Friday. But this story just kind of brought out the fact that nobody had, I mean, everyone knew who Josh Jacobs was because he was really the only premier running back in the that would possibly be taken in the first round of the draft, but nobody had Max Crosby. You know what I mean? Like, from Eastern Michigan, nobody could understand the impact that Crosby would have that he is now. And he's now getting double-teamed and triple-teamed. It's not making a difference. And when you ship off Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, like, that's not holding this team back the way everyone thought it would.
I mean, steal around one, Josh Jacobs, steal around two, Max Crosby. I mean, the applause or the praise being lauded on Mayock and the Raiders is deserved. I mean, especially when you think about the noise that was surrounding this team, you know, myself included, I had real questions about the choices they were making and the routes that they were choosing to go. And I mean, up until this point, I was dead wrong. I mean, you can't deny what they have done. It's really exciting. It's to an extent, it's inspiring because, if you're an NFL fan, you've got to feel like, hey, this could be my team.
This could be your team. Right. You could fix things if you just do things the right way.
Right. You block out the noise. You stay, you know, as a cohesive unit. You believe in yourself. You don't need all the name talent. You just need the talent that is going to fight for your name, if that makes sense, right?
It does.
And fight for their name. And it definitely feels like the Raiders organization, and rightfully so. I mean, they've been the butt of a lot of jokes, right? It feels like they have a chip on their shoulder. And it's manifested itself into what is probably going to be a 7-4 record after this weekend.
So Max Crosby, fourth round, 106th overall, has now become like that guy you got to worry about on game day. If you're an opposing team on your offensive line, he racked up 4 sacks on Sunday against the Bengals, but now he joins like 2 rookies that have only done that since 1988.
That's incredible.
That's the impact you never get from guys,
especially out of the fourth round. I mean, to plug and play a guy. I mean, it's nice to have a starter from the fourth round, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let alone getting a guy who can go and have 4 sacks in a game. Granted, it was against the hapless Bengals, but, I mean, Crosby's had a great year to begin with.
Sure.
So it is, things are trending in a positive direction for the Raiders, and rightfully so. There's a lot to be positive about.
Wasn't Crosby cool to watch in Hard Knocks? Okay, he's got the tats, he's got the long hair, but he's got 6.5 sacks on the year, 8 tackles for loss, 11 quarterback hits, and 22 hurries. He's like a berserker out there right now, and that's exactly what they needed, because that allows time for a guy like Cleveland Farrell to go and move around the line, and he's seeing double teams as well, but he doesn't have all the pressure on him to go and play like that first pick that he had to be. You know, he doesn't have all
this
that progress.
This was supposed to be, right, Max Crosby. I mean, Farrell was supposed to be Crosby, right? He was the one who was supposed to have the 6.5 sacks and the 11 hurries or whatever the stats you just read off,
sure.
Right? That was
but
supposed
you put
to
them
be
together. Now right. You got a force.
Well, theoretically, yeah. And what's got to be exciting for Raiders fans about Max Crosby is, you know, probably, and I don't have stats to back this up, it's just more of a gut feeling, but I feel like when players perform early on the defensive side of the ball, there's less of a risk of them falling off a cliff for no. Like, I think back to, like, a Peyton Hillis. Maybe not. Like, I mean, he's like
remember
the ultimate.
Remember old Peyton Hillis?
I mean, he is the ultimate one-hit wonder.
Is, man. Yes, yes,
but
he is.
But I feel like on the offensive side of the ball, you can get a receiver who's going to go out and have 1,100 yards one season, then maybe you don't hear from him again. Or you have a running back that goes out and rushes for 1,000, and maybe you don't hear from him again. When you have a rookie that comes on the scene and is causing havoc in the way that Max Crosby is, it's usually a testament to longevity and his ability. He's going to get better. He's going to be even more dangerous. He's already performing at the clip he's performing at, not even a full season into his NFL career. As I said, if you're a Raiders fan, you got to be pretty excited about not only what Max Crosby's bringing this team and this franchise right now, but what Max Crosby's going to be bringing them in the future. Because, I mean, common thought and common thinking would suggest that he's only going to be getting better. So what's Max Crosby going to be in year 3?
This is what Gruden has to say about the explosiveness, and as Ryan alluded to, what's coming up next.
Well, we've been talking about the factor grade here, you know, and if, you know, finally someone will count the sacks and write a nice story about him. But he's been near the quarterback. He's been hitting the quarterback. He's been batting balls down from the quarterback, and today he got to the quarterback. So we're really pleased with his progress. You got to give him a lot of credit. He's a rookie from Eastern Michigan. He's gotten stronger. He's gotten better. And you got a great future here.
Everything's like he's like narrating a documentary. It's like the perfect pauses. It's a perfect word choice.
Oh, man.
What an incredible guy that John Gruden is.
You know, and if, you know, finally someone will count the sacks and write a nice story about him. But he's been near the quarterback. He's been hitting the quarterback.
Batting balls down.
Near the quarterback. He's been down on the quarterback. He's been batting balls down. And
thinking a baseball bat to their knees kind of guy.
He's a rookie.
He's a rookie.
Well, why is he? He's got such great spacing when he talks.
That is one of the things that makes Gruden Gruden. It's the looks. It's the cadence. It's the ring. I said sideline generalship. As I say, ring generalship.
It really
right?
is.
Going too much in Wilder Ortiz mode, right? Yeah, it's just it's the total package with John Gruden. It really is.
All right, we're going to take a break, then we're going to come back. We're going to try something called Hard Times. We're also going to talk about Wilder Ortiz and an even crazier story that's coming out of Orlando, which has no basis in merit, but apparently crazy Pat Williams is on the mic again and apparently has enough money to go and pull this off. We'll talk about that next.
This traffic report is brought to you by MGM Resorts. Get your Aces 3-game holiday packs today at aces.wnba.com.
Accidents. Summerlin Parkway westbound at Town Center Drive off ramp. 2 center lanes blocked. Another accident. Sunset and Las Vegas Boulevard. And another one. DI and Zuni Drive.
This traffic report is brought to you by MGM Resorts. Get your Aces 3-game holiday packs today at aces.wnba.com.
Tis the season to give the gift of Aces basketball. Get a 3-game plan for the 2020 season and an Aces beanie starting at only $75. You pick the games. Get yours at lasvegasaces.com or call 702-692-ACES.
It's time for the first sports voice in Las Vegas, The Press Box, with Clay Baker and Big Mac Ryan McKinnell.
We'll go to the NFL with R.J. Bell here at 9 o'clock, and then J.R. Starkus. We'll go over a little Golden Knights with him, as well as the Thanksgiving Day cocktail that'll make you a big winner at home. Ryan McKinnell is here with me. His show, The Mac Attack, from 2 to 3 on Sports 920 The Game, Monday through Friday, is here with me as Agrani is on assignment doing load management issues in New York for the Jets-Raiders game. But we wanted to, I don't know why I thought about this. Ryan and I haven't done a show in several weeks, so I had this idea a few weeks ago, and I'm like, all right, let's try this out. And I threw it at Ryan, and Ryan's like, you know what? All right, fine, we'll do it. We'll please you. We're going to do a quick parody on Dusty Rhodes' Hard Times. Hard Times, everybody! We'll play you a little snippet from the old days with Mid-Atlantic Wrestling. This is from like 30 years ago, but this is Dusty Rhodes doing a rant, and we're going to try to make a little sports metaphor out of our own. Here's Dusty from way back when.
I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. no respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work and got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard time.
Oh, so that's so good. All right, I know there's a little bit more to that, but we got to get to it because we're rushing. I'm going to play a little music, and I think Ryan and I are both going to channel our inner Dusty Rhodes, and we're gonna rant on both the Bears and Lions respectively. I'll go first. Because I came up with this turkey. I don't know how this is going to go.
Well, but you made the mistake of playing Dusty, who freaking kills it.
Yeah.
And now
now
I feel like we have to match the most legendary promo in the history of the business and do it with energy. So good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to go, but this is how it'll be. And I think, you know, for us, it's like, this is just fun because we love Dusty. But there is no comparable way to go and do hard times. And I know his son tried to go and do it a couple weeks ago national TV.
He wasn't like biting his dad. He just cut a hell of a promo himself on AEW. Cody Rhodes. Yeah, absolutely.
So this is us. This is the Mr. Perfect theme. Because this is just going to be perfect. For hard times. And I don't have a whole lot of respect for the Detroit Lions. No respect. No honor. There's no honor amongst thieves in the first place.
You got
to yell
more. You got to spit a little bit.
I got to spit.
There you go.
Lions have put hard times on Clay Baker and his family. And you don't know what hard times are, Daddy, when you got Matthew Stafford with 75 broken bones in his back and his wife on Twitter said, everything's going to be all right, Daddy. It's hard for Clay Baker and his family with Dustin Rhodes and hard times on Matthew Stafford's back. You can't buy their food, can't pay their wages. They got four or five kids. They got nothing in Detroit. And you say, we're gonna work on defense. Matt Patricia, fat man, you don't know what hard times is you've done to Clay Baker. You trade Quandre Diggs to Seattle, and you go in to have Darius Slay crying in the towels. That's hard times. And there's no running game here in Detroit. And Detroit Lions put hard times on the Clay Baker family. What do you think Barry Sanders is? He's sitting there laughing at you. He's laughing at me. That's hard times, Daddy. Hard times on the Lions. And I know I'm not the athlete of today. I may have a big belly and a big hiney, but I'm telling you, I'm bad, and they know I'm bad. That's hard times.
I don't have a lot more to say about the way I feel about Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears, Daddy. I've been coming here supporting this team for 3 decades, baby. We go and get Khalil Mack, and what does he do? What does he do? We're sitting here. We are sitting here facing down a 5-11 squad. The disappointment that I feel, Clay Baker. Hard times, Daddy. The hardest times. I know I got a big belly. I know I'm not the most prettiest man, but I have been riding with this team year after year. Year after year, disappointment after disappointment. You jump up one slot, Daddy, and you take Mitch Trubisky with Matt Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson still on the board? I can't take it anymore, Clay Baker. I'm broken. I'm dying. I'm struggling out here, Daddy. It is hard times for a sports fan out in Chicago, let me tell you.
You have put hard times on this country. You put hard times on Ryan McKinnell. Hard times on Clay Baker. And we all have hard times together, and I admit, Dusty Rhodes could deal with hard times, but Ryan and Clay cannot. And that's why we have this show for hard times. But the Chicago Bear fans are sitting there by the window, cracked, messed up, putting a blanket over them, Daddy. They're done.
I just like we're both NFC North teams and we're bonding over our mutual disappointments and hates and frustrations.
I just can't believe I left the door open, so everybody in the lobby is walking by. They don't know what's going on.
My voice is now cracking. I was like screaming, doing a terrible Dusty Rhodes impression.
Oh my god!
Next, we'll have to do like Macho Man. We'll have to do the cream of the crop promo.
Oh, that'll be fun. I love the cream of the crop promo.
Let's do that. Yeah, I feel like I can do better Macho Man than I can Dusty Rhodes.
Wow, I've never even tried to do Macho. That would be strong. Because now you really got to go.
I should have done Macho, and you should have done Dusty, and we should have done dueling promos. We will get this ironed out.
Okay,
this will be a regular thing. We will. This was completely freestyle.
How many drugs or hallucinogenics are we gonna have to do the Macho Man Randy Poffo stuff?
I honestly think it's just one drug. I just think we need a bunch of coke. If we got that, I mean, it's pretty authentic Macho Man.
Dude, if we get J.R. Starkus in at like 7:30, and then we start doing the Randy Macho Man stuff, that'll just naturally evolve into like perfect vernacular for
us. It's exactly the way it should go.
All right, RJ Bell's going to come up next. We can't follow this up with this Pat Williams story. You know, and speaking of drugs, I don't know what Pat Williams is onto, because I know Florida has been like banning the marijuana stuff and the sports betting. So, but Pat Williams, the owner of the Orlando Magic, a genius billionaire, is coming up with an idea that
you might want to like pause on the genius part.
You know what? He's been able to get things done in a slow amount of time, and this is not a guy who came from wealth, but he has built it from nothing. But I have a feeling like this latest venture, it's going to go away from a very quick. We'll come back. RJ Bell, top of the hour. We'll do a few minutes on the NFL, and then we got to get into this Pat Williams story before J.R. Starkus and enamors us all with his acumen and the Thanksgiving Day cocktail that'll make you a big winner. Next on the Press Box.
Las Vegas Golf Superstore is rolling back the savings with our pre-Black Friday sale happening this Friday through Sunday. It's our biggest sale of the year. Save 20% off everything in stock. Yes, 20%.